such an he's like,
old dad over here, just like,
don't talk Monaghan. What are you doing?
I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
He ruined it.
I can't help myself.
It's he ruined it.
Oh, I gotta go again.
Dun, dun, dun.
Welcome back, Nostalgia Hunters. Today's topic is music sharing software. This is a topic brought on by Mike. We stumbled into, as we were hanging out and talking about Napster and how the original, we set up this software to just download music for free. I think this was one of the first things that kicked off probably widespread piracy everywhere. And we thought, oh, wait, that's a really fun topic to revisit. And we missed some of it, the Wild West of the internet. And
sail the high seas.
Oh, yeah. Sail the high seas. A lot of us are doing things we had no idea, probably downloaded a whole bunch of viruses and unintentional porn.
What's this unintentional business?
Okay.
I was in my teens when this stuff came out.
Day, it could be. It's like, hey, am I downloading Linkin Park? And you end up with something that's not Linkin Park.
Yeah,
there's like, something being parked.
No, yeah, but that was it.
You're like,
Mom, I swear, I thought it was Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
but it shows a movie that you're downloading and it has some weird words. I swear it was Linkin Park.
Yeah.
It says MP4, not 3. And I'm just like, I guess it's
I thought it was just a better MP3.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you, Andy. Mm-hmm. This is a topic that we started talking about a while back. And we thought it'd be a pretty cool topic to discuss and figure out what all of our experiences were with file sharing and whatnot, if any of us had any. And then kind of just talk that one through. So I'm just going to start out by giving you guys my experience from when I first ran into file sharing. This would have been around the year 2000. It would have been when I got my very own computer. And I ended up finding out what Napster was and ended up downloading music, and I found a program that could convert the MP3s that I was getting off of Napster to WAV files, and then I could burn them to CDs. And nobody else who was around knew how to do that, and I had a CD burner, so I became the popular guy. And so I would be making CDs for a ton of people, getting this music that nobody could get. And it was fantastic.
What was the software for burning CDs? I remember there was
mine was command line. I don't even
really.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
No, we actually had software on ours and a CD. Drive.
Yeah, I did not have any software
that
could
burn
do it.
In the name or fire in the name or something like that.
So here's the thing: my journey is similar to yours with a slight caveat. So, I had never heard of any of this stuff until Metallica and the music industry lost their shit and it was all over the news. And I was like,
Lars Ulrich.
Yeah. I remember internet things being they're like, Napster bad.
Yeah.
But no, I sit there. I never knew.
You hadn't heard anything about it until
Not until they started suing them.
Streisand effect.
So yeah. I was, when that happened, I was one of the millions. And millions. Sorry, a little rock reference. you had a WWE
that sounds
thing.
Good.
And millions.
Are you sure you're not the opera singer here?
Hey, we're gonna get to that in the next
episode. Yeah, you do. You do have some acoustics in here. I went home and was doing the same thing. I was like, I can do this. So I'm looking up and getting Napster set up and starting getting all the music. Same thing. I had burnable CDs and stuff like that on my parents' computer. And so I would burn CDs too. But they also went a step further. For some reason, I don't think my dad ever actually used the damn thing. But he got little label things with a little punch thing. You actually put the labels on the discs too. So not only was I burning them, but I was putting labels on there with the tracks and everything and giving them out. But yeah, I would if they hadn't been all over the news, I wouldn't know anything about it.
Yeah, I had that printout. I know somehow we got into burning CDs, but what was it? TDK was making a whole bunch of them. That there were cassette makers that went into making CDs. And then we would have printer pages that were sticky papers. And if you print it on the right place, mm-hmm. and you can take out like a CD-shaped label out of it and then put it on your CD.
Oh, yep. I actually bought labels that were specifically made for CDs. And that
yeah, so same thing. Like it was already cut out in the circle, yeah. and you just print in that area. And then
Those never lasted. You're putting them in it. I don't know if you guys have.
Yeah, it like, start to peel
you go
off.
In it, you go in and out of like the CD I case think, sleeves and whatnot. At either the
I think
print
my
would
CD,
look bad or it would peel off.
CDs died before the label.
or you don't get it on there just right, and you have a little fold in the sticker, which made the CD like the weight was off, so it'd be like chung, 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 and it wouldn't play right in the
player.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike?
You know, I this is weird because it was my formative years, but I don't remember much about that time.
You're giving me crap for not knowing about it until the article came out.
No, but I knew.
But you were too young to know anything about it.
But I knew I was using Napster, specifically Napster and probably Morpheus, before the whole lawsuit thing with Metallica, for sure.
What year were you born?
87. Napster came out, according to my notes, in 1999.
99, so, yeah. So you would have been about 12, the right age to maybe
years,
have but you had access to a PC
you
and
had
internet.
Barely been before then, because like it was around 99 2000 when I started doing it too, but I found out because of the news.
The Metallica v Napster lawsuit was in 2000, so it had been out for about
so
a year.
99 2000, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like y'all, I was downloading music, downloading things and video games and all sorts of whatever I could find back then.
So real quick, what all did you all use in total? I'll go through my list. I use Napster. I used Morpheus. I used LimeWire. I used at some point AOL Instant Messenger just for people sending me stuff, which kind of doesn't count, but it kind of does. And then for movies and stuff like that, I got into IRC. And you could use IRC bots. You go into these servers specifically, you go into these mm-hmm. channels, and you message these bots different commands for the movie that you wanted. And you would get movies that way. And it was way easier to get movies and stuff that way. Or easy. You still had to know what you're doing. But man, I love that. So those are my go-tos back in the day.
My older brother, my oldest brother, was real big into the IRC bot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he could get something for me when I couldn't because I couldn't find it out on
that's
the
how got
torrents
it.
And whatnot, I thought he was like a wizard. I was like, how do you find this stuff?
All my friends were like that with me. They're like, how do you find all this? Yeah. I'm just like...
How about you? My first time, actually, I didn't talk about my first time, but my dad actually got it, which is, thinking about it now, I'm like, I don't know how he even knew, but it was tail end of 2000, and like I think he got it, and then we quickly switched to Kazaa, so we barely had Napster for long, barely, because it got shut down, and India is like behind anyway, even though the internet is supposed to be everywhere.
The 80s hit India in like 1997.
Yeah. So we were behind, and then we still had I had like dial-up internet by the time you guys probably had broadband.
Oh
by
my
then.
Gosh. We had when I first had Napster, we actually had dial-up. So we were sitting there forever for an MP3 file, cuz it was 27.7 was the speed or something like that. It was half of the 56k line that you would normally have. So it was really slow.
But when we got a song,
man, that song got played a lot.
But see, you're talking about MP3s though. So like me saying that, like I had Napster and then LimeWire and Kazaa or mm-hmm. whatever.
Kazaa.
I always thought it was Kazaa. That's how everyone around me pronounced it.
Kazaa. So
it
that's what we called it.
I said Kazaa because that's what Kazaa. We said in India.
Yeah. I guess.
I didn't use it just for MP3s though. Eventually, when I realized that, you know, like I said, I was a teenage boy. When I realized you could download pornography on there, I stayed at home alone during the summer. My parents go to work.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Mom. I would go get on their computer, just look up the words that would bring up something. You don't know what you're downloading. And you're just like, go. Same thing. Dial up internet. 6 hours later, I'd have like 30 seconds of porn to work with.
Did you burn it to CD and keep it around, or did you delete it?
Oh, jeez.
I think for a little while I like hid it in a file on my dad's computer and everything like that. But I was like, I don't want him to eventually find this shit. So I started
totally not porn.
Yeah, that's the worst, right?
Well, I would like my dad was so pissed because I would wake up before I went off to school. I'd be like, I'm scheduling this for today, and like you know, put like 2-3 songs on, go to school, come back, and be like, is it done? Did they get done or something? And there were times when. I think by then I got broadband, but there were times where it was like, oh yeah, no, we got a phone call. And
oh yeah, that's right.
Internet died right there.
Phone call. Yeah. Oh man, we got cable in like 2000 and that was magic. That was a magical time. Cable watching internet. Watching that bar that used to go like so slow. And then all of a sudden it's just like zoom. Zoom.
And I'm just like we eventually got that too, and it started getting a lot faster.
I remember during the early days of cable internet, DSL was a big competitor. I think we had DSL for a while too.
Yeah, no, those videos still took forever though, but they were fast enough that I would sit at the desk and I'd just be like, anytime I see somebody who's like pinging the same file I was on and like downloading for me was I was trying to, I was like, cancel, yeah. Like, because that would make my shit like go slower. So I'm like, no, wait till I'm done.
I set up a firewall program that would keep that. Like, there were some times where I'd be fine with like sharing and whatnot, but then other times, I'm like, no, I actually need the internet. So
I wouldn't know how to do that now, let alone when I was 17. Yeah.
Well, you're talking about like your files not being done. The thing that frustrated me the most back then was when you start a download, you go to school or whatever, you come back and you realize all the cedars have dropped.
Yeah.
And your download's just completely stalled and you're not. Oh,
it's like
any
sitting
further.
At 64.7%.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Or 99%.
Or worse. Yeah. I guess I probably had a couple of those. And
you're like, this, whoever this one kid is in like Uzbekistan or wherever.
Yeah, come back online. Like,
yeah. Just seed it.
Turn your PC back on. That was another thing that actually worked out great with IRC is like those bots were all active. So like
always on,
it wasn't it wasn't a seeder or anything. There wasn't anything. You just literally downloaded from whatever they had set up. Like it wasn't actually using any sort of peer-to-peer or anything like that. You're just straight up downloaded. So that I always liked that or preferred that quite a little bit. So
that was my exposure to piracy. The first thing I ever... I think until then, I might have gotten... The only piracy I had is I would go to stores that would sell CDs that they burnt and sell it, so which was common in India. But that was the first time I myself participated.
I grew up in a household that had a VHS player that had the dual cassettes.
Oh, okay.
And allegedly, from time to time, my parents might have rented movies and then maybe copy those movies. So I actually kind of grew up with essentially an early version of file sharing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we had a number of copied VHSs too, and then I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
You didn't make it, though.
I did not. I did not.
But, do you have anything like that, Miles?
I don't even know if my parents made it or if they like got it somewhere. I have no idea. I just remember we had like VHS and these like black cases, almost like a Blockbuster case with like this black plastic. And it would just have like a sticker and it was like written on there what the movie was.
Legs. So. Yeah. Yeah, we had just a wall of just movies and stuff like that. So I grew up with like being able to watch.
We
tons
had a
of
thing in the entertainment center that you pulled out and it just slid out like a sideways drawer and all the movies were in there.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. We had just like this whole big thing that was kind of like an on demand, which is very similar to what all this stuff eventually turned into, which we will get into later.
Yeah. Now, that's crazy that, I mean, y'all are talking about movies and music, and none of y'all have brought up video games yet. And I feel like that's the thing
I never even thought to download a video game.
The most was video games. And I remember...
PC games?
Yeah. Okay. And I remember searching for cracked CD keys.
Oh, my God.
And cracked EXEs and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure my dad participated in that because he had a whole bunch of those 3.5-inch or whatever... discs that just had stuff written on them and it wasn't like a purchased thing.
Oh,
or games.
Yeah.
There was some, I don't know, what was it? Leisure Suit Larry, which is apparently about just going around and banging chicks or something. He had a whole bunch of those.
There's a lot of games that just came out on CD. Like, actually, most of the time that I went, it was like CD keys or not or C, CD crack keys. Or no, it's not CD keys, it's CD cracks or it had crack in the title.
Yeah.
But like, I would actually go there, but it was almost entirely for my legitly bought stuff because I didn't want to have to put the damn CD.
You didn't want to use
drive.
The CD anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually did not download too many games. And a lot of times it was literally just kind of a trial sort of thing. Like if I did like it, I'd end up buying it. but rarely I bought anything because back then I was so much into Quake 3 Arena that was literally all I played. So I didn't care about any other games. So I actually did not download too many games.
Back when I was a kid, I was always trying whatever the new computer game that came out was. I don't think it ever occurred
to me till right this sec when he mentioned it about pirating games.
I'm
Oh, really?
There was this whole community around it too, because these people that would make the cracks also include like videos that would play prior to actually applying the crack, and there was this whole scene of like
scene groups
making the coolest video. I think they called them demos. I can't remember what they call them.
A couple of the people that I make video games with today may or may not have been a part of one of those bigger groups over in Europe.
Yeah,
I know now there's FitGirl, and I'm trying to remember the big. Oh, well, who was that who ripped movies to like just 700 MB and they were perfect? And you would search for their tag in all the movie prints that you got.
Had the best stuff.
The best quality encoded rip.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. I played, so you say pirated. So I didn't pirate through these. I think I did. I don't know if you guys were in the era when it all became mega upload, rapid get, or rapid upload, all those file sharing software sites that
it's a direct download,
direct download, DD direct download link DDL,
like mega upload,
upload,
stuff like that. Yeah,
they would like WinRAR it into 50 parts, and then you'd have 50 download links, and then at like number 37, you're like, this one, the file has now been deleted or something, it will share, and you're like, no. Oh my God.
There is a software that was created that's still in use today that I won't mention, but basically it goes down. You can tell it to take all those parts and it'll like parse everything, put it on the screen, and then download each part and then check and make sure that it's downloaded. Yeah. And then it had the ability to restart, which was huge back in the day when you didn't have a very good like broadband line. So that was
back
awesome.
Then download managers were big and like that actually made sense.
Yeah.
Because your downloads.
Oh yeah, I forgot about download managers. Yeah.
See, I didn't participate enough to know what half of this shit is you're talking about.
They were, so being in India,
once again for the new subscribers, engineers, product. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. I just tell them to go do it.
Yeah. Being in India, games wouldn't come at all, and so for me, it was like I think 90% of every game I played until I was like 20 something were all pirated,
which is crazy because I thought like 90% of the games I downloaded came from India.
Maybe they did.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it was a big over in Europe. Like Russia had tons of groups that like would basically go through
Asia,
India,
Europe and, that would seed that stuff
because there was a lot of profit over there for reselling that stuff. There wasn't as much over here, but there was a ton over there. So
yeah.
All right, so basically, we've kind of established that all of us have at least a little bit of a history here.
Some of us are like captains and first mates. Passing on or like using the ship to get from one place.
Freaking Captain Jack Sparrow over here. without adding yourselves, pretty much is like, is anybody knowledgeable about file sharing and stuff like that still happens today?
I'm aware of it. I don't really do it anymore just because, as we'll get to, some of the things like it almost seems kind of pointless to do it nowadays with the availability of content that's just out there legally for free.
When you start making content pretty easy and affordable for people to get to, it usually makes it a little bit less likely for it to get pirated. But that stuff
Affordable stuff becomes less affordable,
which has been happening a lot lately. So I am aware that it is definitely still out there. There's definitely quite a few places you can go and whatnot. So it's still actually relevant today. It's just not as new today and not probably as prominent due to the fact that like there is better access to everything.
It is becoming prominent again because there are a million streaming services and you don't want to pay $60 a month for
going through the cable thing.
Yeah. But that's because people are doing it wrong. No one. So the way I do streaming services, and I know this is a tangent, I'm going to go on it anyway, is I don't own every streaming service at once. I sit there and like, oh, let's say Disney Plus is coming out with these things that I want to watch. I get Disney Plus and I just rapid fire go to stuff that I want on Disney Plus. And as soon as I've watched all the things I plan to watch, I cancel Disney Plus.
That's how most everybody did it.
Like, everyone I've always talked to, they have it.
People keep it on for way too long.
It's just like having cable because it costs so much. I only ever have two streaming services at a time.
I get Netflix whenever I need Netflix. I get Peacock whenever I need Peacock, and like, you know, stuff like that. Like, I've never kept it for longer than I needed to. And one time when they did bill me, when they did keep it, I called them up and had to fix it because I'm just like, mm-mm. I don't want to do that. So I just assume most everybody did that because they are expensive.
Yeah. Like most people I've heard just have them and they just keep them. I'm like, why? When's the last time you watched this one? Go cancel it.
So the way I use streaming services is starting to go the way of the dodo. Mm-hmm. What I do is I pay for Netflix. I get Hulu from my parents. I get Max from Kristen's college friends. I get Paramount from my parents. I get all these streaming services from people I know. And
now
I use
somebody in my streaming services have heard him and are going to go lock him out.
My phone carrier gives me ESPN service. Like, yeah, like all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
now is all that like above board? Or
it's all above board. Okay, yeah. Okay. They're all paying for it. I'm just part of their family.
Yeah. I know they're like Netflix, for example, cracked down on people.
They're all cracking down
outside of the house and stuff like that. So you have to be in house.
They do IP restrictions on that stuff.
Yeah,
now,
me and my friend used to have it together. Curious how that's going to work, though.
If they're like doing like IP restrictions or stuff like that, how do they? They're going to say you can only watch Netflix in your house. When I'm mobile now, I can't watch my Netflix anymore.
So some of them are doing it differently to where it's like if you're on your phone, you can use it wherever you want. Some of them are like, if you use it anywhere that's not your house, you have to reset your home address to wherever you are. And so if there's someone else in that other location, they can no longer access it.
That's when everybody starts setting up their own VPN servers.
Yeah.
You just have your home. Well, I was literally thinking that right now. I was like, what if you have a VPN on?
That's probably a way to get around it.
Yeah. That's probably the most technical thing I'll say this whole episode.
I'm going to take notes so I can tell my friends and family.
Because I pay for a VPN. Yeah. So.
Are we sponsored by private internet access?
Sponsored by NordVPN.
No, we're sponsored by YouTube at Becca and Jeffrey. Go check them out.
Oh, my God.
You guys are making VPNs now?
Yeah. No, but we're participating in this podcast, or at least half of us are.
But
and you've been on that other channel, too, so shush. Actually, so have you. You're the only one that has it.
Me? I'm not sitting here promoting it.
I don't think I've seen that one pop up on my YouTube list.
No, but I mean, he's been in an episode. He's been in several. You're the only one that's not been on my channel.
Well, get Marcy and I involved. Let's go.
When he does his haunted house episode, you can join us.
If that even happens. They haven't replied to me, but whatever. Okay. Moving on.
So file sharing today still exists. Still relevant. Getting more relevant due to the extreme expense of streaming services and whatnot.
It's also very relevant because of the proliferation of retro devices.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like a lot of stuff like that. Libraries and download. Like, you know, there's a certain archive out there that is heavily used for a lot of that, and very good that it is, because most of these companies don't care about preserving a lot of their own stuff. That's another thing, is like these companies would rather you forget the past so they can sell you on the future. And so I am super glad that places like that exist legal reason to exist.
There's also the fact that physical media is coming back, not just because it's retro, that it's becoming like people didn't necessarily think about this, but it's becoming very apparent. They're being reported that even though you bought all these digital movies and stuff, you don't actually own them. You're buying a license to be able to stream it as often as you want, as long as that provider still has it contractually able to make it available. Yeah. They could just randomly like, well, we don't have a contract to have this anymore, and yank it from you, and you don't have the movie anymore, which is, I think, a big reason why physical media is coming back.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. The most amount of Blu-rays I've bought ever in the last 3 years. I bought, I think, probably 100 Blu-ray movies.
I haven't bought that many, but I bought quite a few, partly just for collecting, but partly because I just want to have access to that particular one, because the streaming service can be like, yeah, we have only, say, Back to the Future, for example. We tried to watch Back to the Future 1 a while back, and the only streaming, the actual legal streaming one, was this one that was super zoomed in, had been AI enhanced, and it was horrible.
Wow.
I was like, this is not Back to the Future, and I ended up going and finding another way for us to be able to watch that same movie I had legal access to, because that was the only one they had access to. So I prefer to have a DVD of like the 4K restoration or whatever. If it's something that I like, I'm going to buy it these days.
Speaking of which, I think they might be putting that back in theaters soon, if I recall, for the 40th anniversary.
Yes.
I might be going.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
I'd be down. But,
yeah. I was going to say, I searched this up just now because I wanted to say, do these names mean anything to you? And I'll know. Razer 1911.
That was literally the scene group I was going to bring up because they were one of the most prominent ones back in the day in video games.
FDL.
FDL?
Mm. No. Paradox? No.
Mm-hmm.
Reloaded?
Reloaded, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
As in Matrix?
No.
Skid Row?
Yes.
Mm.
The newer ones, I know newer ones, it's like Fit Girl or whatever that got caught or got disbanded now. But this was Razer 1911 was like the thing. And these were called, I thought I pronounced it so weirdly, I called it Wares as a kid. And I did not realize it was software and they cut softwares is what
we call it Wares.
Yeah.
Or Juarez. We called it Juarez.
Juarez or Juarez.
I think it's just like wares, like softwares. And so they just took the last bit, and only as an adult I realized it's like, oh, it's just
software.
Yeah, it was software. So all these weird names I said were the guys who would crack games and upload them.
Yep.
And oh my God. And it's like, oh, they put out a patch and then you have to get a cracked patch it.
Yeah.
Oof. Yep. Fun times. To play video games,
didn't do anything.
I don't know about these illegal pirates over here. See, I paid for my video games.
I had another question. How many of you got some Worm or Trojan through the file sharing
apps? Oh, all the time.
If I did, I don't know anything about it. It was my dad's computer, so don't give a shit.
I was very, very, very careful about that, and I don't think I got hit more than one time. And that was
okay.
Wow.
I just ruined my computer once every 6 months.
That was me too, man. I
was so mad when I had to reformat.
I got in trouble.
My computer never had that come up. So like, I assume I was fine. But I mean, like I said, I don't think I downloaded it.
The guy who got all the porn somehow didn't get a virus.
Because the porn industry is trustworthy.
Oh yeah, oh, Jesus. Yeah.
In the video game industry. I was going to say, I was constantly messing up. I had to reinstall the OS at least a couple times. Like, yeah, I totally trashed it. But, you know, I got into, like, the C cleaner to clear up junk.
CC cleaner.
And
what years were you doing this? Like I said, I only did this for, like, 99 through 01.
Oh, really? I did.
Mine went all the way till college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2000s.
I didn't keep doing that forever.
When that Trojan came out, when the first Trojan viruses hit,
there was no
antivirus that could get rid of it. I think there was one that would just eat the space in the computer. And like I had, like you would just go delete the folders it was making and it would just keep making it. And we would keep downloading any free antivirus we could find to get rid of it. And in the end, it was just like, okay, I guess it's time to format.
I had to save my parents' PC once because with one of those free antivirus. I can't even remember which one I used, but it actually worked. It was one that would function in safe mode. And I was able to actually isolate everything. Avira
or something?
And, yeah, I can't remember what it was.
With the umbrella
but
icon?
I can't even remember. It was so long ago. Okay. But I just remember like actually saving their computer because she was so panicked. She had so much stuff on there. I was like, oh, this thing's gone. But somehow pulled that one out. But yeah, like I luckily missed most of that. I remember it happened in one time. I remember being like, yep, that's definitely a virus formatting. I was so mad. I was mad at myself. Actually, I thought it was my roommates at the time who did it. Because I'm like,
Norton was the most popular antivirus and was a piece of shit. It never solved anything for me.
But their marketing was great. Yeah.
Well, there was McAfee.
McAfee was,
that was also a piece of shit. The free ones are always better.
No, I think I am the reason that my parents started paying for antivirus. And they were, my dad would always buy a Kaspersky. Which is now, you know, that not allowed in the U.S.
No, it was pretty good, though.
But it was great back then. And,
why is it not allowed in the U.S.?
He would pay out the wazoo for it because of me and my meddling.
Is it Kaspersky who made a virus themselves or something? They did some shady stuff.
No, well, they're Russian.
Yeah.
And so, nowadays there's very anti-Russian sentiment in the U.S. So whether they were
there's a lot of anti-stuff in this administration, but whatever.
Whether or not they were actually doing anything at all, it doesn't matter. The government at least thinks they were doing something. And so that's why we can't have Kaspersky anymore.
That was my introduction. I know this was the thing. That was my introduction to viruses and them destroying the computer.
I downloaded.
I was like, oh, Britney Spears video, sure. And then it came, and then it's like, why does this video say EXE? I was so dumb when it was, yeah.
My introduction was Johnny Mnemonic. No.
So pretty much, okay, so we've talked about our experiences of file sharing and stuff like that. So file sharing in general seems like it was a good thing because people wanted to get access to stuff they couldn't easily get access to. So today, what do you guys think about like file sharing and how it's grown up? So well, I mean, we've already touched on the subject a little bit.
There's legit file sharing that's like anytime that like, ooh. I mean, heck, we use file sharing. We go drop stuff in a little like a Google Drive or something like that for me to access. That's still technically file sharing.
I was thinking more like just all the streaming services.
Yeah, I was going to say, but there's that too.
All the streaming services that companies finally wised up that people want easy access to all this stuff. So we have streaming services for everything. You know, Netflix made it popular. They weren't the first, but they made it popular. And then everybody else now wants a piece of that pie.
Well, I think it started even before that, didn't it? When the MP3 started becoming like more of a subscription model,
or was iTunes?
Netflix's subscription model?
Oh, yeah, that's why I said Netflix wasn't the first, but it's the one that made it popular and stuff like that. Yeah, and then Apple actually with iTunes helped quite a little bit. I think they had some digital stuff, some digital, and then like there was
when you could actually Pandora, rip a CD and put the MP3s on your iTunes,
iHeartRadio stuff like that back in the day. I remember my car actually could have came with an iHeartRadio package, and most people don't even know what that is.
I don't.
My car's from 2012.
Talking about that, the people who made Kazaa, as you said, they went on to make Skype.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and used nice. P2P network to make Skype. Initial Skype was so good.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, yeah, file sharing is actually like it's part of our daily lives now. Like, all the streaming services. I think I'm the only iPhone in here. So I have a subscription to like Apple Music and stuff. So like I essentially have almost every song you could possibly ever imagine at my fingertips, and I'm doing it legally. I'm sure each of you are probably paying for some kind of a music service potentially.
I have just YouTube not Music and just music.
See, there you go.
So I have Spotify. But I did go to the high seas when I wanted to find lossless FLAC files to like, you know, really high quality. It was again, I could not find it anywhere.
Now you got Apple Music has lossless quality. Yeah.
Spotify is just starting
it. Amazon has lossless quality. They're starting to get into that, which is interesting. When it comes to streaming services, like, they're expensive and they're getting more and more expensive every day, and that's making people not like them. One of the things that I don't like about it is that you go to your TV or your streaming stick or whatever to start watching something, and it takes you like 15, 20 minutes just to figure out where the movie you want to watch is. It's like, is it on Paramount Plus? Is it on Netflix? Is it on Google Play? Or
you need to use there's internet services where you just go look up the movie and it'll tell you exactly where it's at.
And they're janky and don't work very well, and they usually have out-of-date information.
I do it on IMDb every single day almost when I want to watch something, it's almost always accurate.
I feel
the only thing I don't like about it is it'll say, you know, streaming on Prime, but that doesn't necessarily mean like Prime free. Right. It means the paid stuff is counted in there too. But besides Amazon Prime, like, it'll say, oh, it's on Netflix. Oh, it's on Max. It's on Peacock. And I pull it up and there it is.
Some are on nothing. Some of the movies that we watched for the podcast, we had to go rent them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, was it?
Well, I owned that one, so I didn't have to do that. No, I don't own that one. I have a purchased streaming license for that one.
Yes.
Yep.
Actually, I probably have DVDs of it too. But
I definitely rented some of these to watch.
But I mean, it is a problem regardless of whether you think IMDb is cool or not. But like, for example, Google, their TVOS cannot search Netflix. It can go and find stuff in all different other services. So if it's available there, it can tell you, oh, yeah, it's available there.
Does Netflix not have an API for them to use?
They do, but they cut them off because they don't use it. Yeah, they don't want to like compete. And I don't know. I don't see how they think that's competing or whatever.
That's weird.
But they want you to go to the Netflix app in order to actually search something. We can test
it. IMDb tells you it's on Netflix.
Oh, my God.
All right. But if you open the app and get in, you're in the app, though.
Yeah.
And they control everything in there.
Yeah. And then you might stay once you're in there. So it's BS.
Well, it's probably because like Google like now has been doing it for a long time, but they scrub the websites and just tell you. So you never actually go to their website. So I understand why people are potentially like not liking giving access to all the information to Google, because they want you to, they want traffic on their website. And when you're using Google, you never actually get to their website.
Oh, it's probably about to get worse with all the AI overview thing. Where even less.
I barely ever click on a website anymore because as soon as I search it, all the answers all right at the top. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, the Google searches have gotten way different. And even the last few months, it's crazy what
AI
what
is the new pirate.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's doing all the pirating for you. Like, oh, yeah, that's true. AI is literally trained on pirated data.
Yeah.
Like, it is. Just flat out is. All your LLMs, all your SLMs even, are just completely pirated data for the most part. So.
But it's okay because the corporation.
But there's no fact checking on it.
Yeah.
Assumes everything on Twitter is the truth.
That's some of the things like the SLM stuff's trying to like that's like the smaller language models pretty much. That's trained on very specific stuff for very specific tasks for very specific agents. So they're trying to make that better, where large language models can do literally hallucinations. So that's kind of where that's going. But anyway, that's not the topic of this. AI is.
Tangent show. We've got plenty of tangents today.
But yeah, AI has literally been like, it's now a huge part of our world. And it's pretty much it is the Captain Jack Sparrow of the internet. Like, it is the dominant force. So,
But less funny.
Slightly less funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is a related tangent. We've already moved past this, but I want to go back to it. The Napster v. Metallica.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it happened today, whose side would you be on?
Same thing.
I mean, yeah.
I was against it. I loved Metallica at the time, but I thought Lars was a real, like, they, like, Lars specifically, but all of them, I was like, you guys are jackass. I get the point, though, because wasn't there the SNL skit? Where they went through and like Lars Ulrich went on there as like, you're now the property of Metallica. Like, this is the property of Metallica. Like, basically saying like, if you download it, you own it. And that's so I kind of got that and I understood his point. And so I was like, all right, I can get that. People should pay for that. But at the time, that was very much not the sentiment. Everybody hated Metallica, at least in my circles.
But it was also really weird. Like, I don't know the entirety of everybody who complained about it. But it is weird when people who, I don't know their net worth, but you perceive as millionaires are bitching because some people are going and taking some money out of their pocket. It, on principle, makes absolute sense. I get it. But it's also like, you're already a millionaire and you're bitching about losing a little bit of money to some of this. If you wouldn't have complained about it, less people would have known about it.
Yeah.
And also, the vast majority of people that I know that actually used it, the whole reason they're using it is because you don't want to go buy an entire album because you want one song off of it. Or at the same time, you don't want to go buy an entire album to see if you like it. A lot of people like me would actually use Napster to go download songs, find things they like. And if they like enough of the songs on whatever album, they then go buy the album.
I was one of those people still. Yeah, still am. Like, you know, like I will, or like we're like for, what was it? For like some retro video games, for example, if I want to collect the card of it, I will go play a ROM first. Like, do I actually like this? And that's, of course, pirated. And then it's like I wouldn't play it much, but basically just determines like, is this going to be worth my purchase price or something like that? I absolutely get that.
For me, it's a different argument where it was like, if piracy let me access to things, And otherwise, I could never afford those. So I was never going to buy them.
Never going to buy them.
Stopping me from getting it, it was not going to make me go buy them anyway. But now I have value where I go, oh, I enjoyed that as a kid. I'm going to go buy it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do that now.
But where I was going with the whole, like, the Metallica, or perceived, like I said, I don't know their net worth, perceived as millionaires complaining about losing a few pennies here and there. But then when it was the people who aren't the millionaire artists, they're like, this is a way of getting my music out where people are going to hear it. They were like happy for it.
Oh, that was the thing. They didn't have the, that's where I was going to go with this, is like, we didn't have data on that yet.
Yeah.
And like stuff started spreading like wildfire everywhere. Like people who were not Metallica fans all of a sudden became Metallica fans because they never would have listened to Metallica otherwise. And then all of a sudden started buying that music. So it all did end up working out.
Here's another,
we just didn't know was, it at the time.
Yeah. Okay, that was also the baby level of sharing your own content. Because I don't know if you guys got it, but sometimes I would get bootleg versions of things. People would name it as a popular song and it was a completely different
thing. Oh my gosh.
People just making them themselves. And I think that was one of the early content sharing. And here's, like, I made a song and I'm just like, going to put it in this.
Like YouTube. Yeah. But
and here's my acoustic version of Wherever I May Roam by Metallica.
Yes. I got to mention.
Well, that or you say Metallica Wherever I Roam when you download it. It's not even Wherever I Roam. It's a completely different song, but you might like it. So
since you brought it up, I have to mention this. Or my dad, if he's watching this episode, would get on to me. Bootleg versions of songs, right? And Metallica. My dad, I don't know if he wanted to just play a joke on somebody. What he did was he created an audio file, named it a Metallica song, and uploaded it to be shared. He did it himself and seeded this file, and he got like thousands and thousands of downloads. And all it is him saying, Metallica sucks. They can kiss my butt over and over and over again. The entire audio file.
Wow.
And he just thought that was the greatest joke ever.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. So what you're saying is your dad invented the Rickroll.
Yeah.
That was another thing that probably came out of all that. But anyway, so it sounds like we've all kind of talked about where we're at with file sharing and our anecdotal experiences and whatnot with it, and kind of where it's been, whatnot with like the streaming services becoming popular, and how actually like, you know, file sharing and stuff like that's kind of coming back a little bit due to expenses and stuff like that. Or just inconvenience, like, you know, you might know to go to IMDb to find out where all the shows are, but not everybody does. So, and that can create frustration. So what happens then? And yeah, you find alternatives a lot of times. And so anyway, I think that kind of leads us towards, like, I guess we can kind of vote on it. I think I already know where this is going to go, but we can kind of figure out, like, is it cool? Is it nostalgic? You know, little opinions on that. So Jeffrey will hit you first.
See, it kind of lives in both worlds for me. Because if you take file sharing as to what it was when it came out, as to what we're talking about it, to where you need to actually physically go out, click on it, wait for it to download, and then play it, to me that's nostalgic, because nowadays it's we stream things. Yes, we can download it too, but we just literally go click it and immediately we have it. We don't have to click it in the morning and then come back after school and then maybe be able to listen to it. So, I mean, in its infant form, I'd say it's absolutely nostalgia. I don't want to fucking do that.
Okay.
But in the idea of just, you know, file sharing, period, it is an integral part of our daily lives. So, absolutely cool. So, if we're going file sharing, period, yes, cool. If we're going what it was back then, absolutely nostalgia.
Cool. All right, Andy?
We as a species.
I said it's so good that nobody else can talk.
We as a species. Okay, I'm not going to say it.
Going back to the primates.
I feel like I enjoyed it. Obviously, I had terribly disappointed when I download. I spent days downloading something, and then it's like, oh, this is not that movie. Like, you know. And I was trying to get some anime movie. I think the first time I got it was through that. But it was, I feel like that I wanted and I instantly got it. that I savored and enjoyed music a lot more back then, maybe. I just felt like making that little collection and, oh, I'm going to curate this and like making that playlist and burning it onto...
Making CDs was fun.
Making CDs was fun because it was like 19 songs, the maximum you could do, I think.
It was 72 minutes. Whatever 72 minutes would do.
I think you have a good point there. Nowadays, we have it so easily at our fingertips. If I start listening to a song that I've never heard before, I might give it 10, 15 seconds. And I'm it's not hitting me and I move on. If I had to spend hours downloading this, I'm probably going to sit there and listen to the whole song to see if I really do like it or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, because you're waiting for other stuff to download anyway.
Well, not just that, but he's like, you know, I it took an hour for me to download this. I'm going to see if this 3 minutes is worth it. You know, but nowadays, like, I don't have to wait for that. I can just be like, screw that song. Next one.
Yeah, our attention, I guess your attention span correlates to like how much time you spent waiting for something.
Yeah.
If you waited for something for a while, you'll probably give it more of a chance than if it's just at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel it was all cool in that it was peer-to-peer, the technology of like how it was shared was, you know, there was no one centralized person that was distributing it. That's how a lot of things work. But it being peer-to-peer, it was a very democratic way of, like, people sharing. Everyone was like, oh, I need to upload something. I need to at least give my... You're lending it... Ratio. The price you're paying is the bandwidth you're giving back to it. Because when you're downloading, it's also uploading. And you're sharing it to someone else.
Gotta have a positive ratio.
So,
well, and back then, too, bandwidth was very limited.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you were being part of the kind of socialist kind of way of like how music was shared, in that you paid your price that way, was that you also participated in sharing it. So you were lending your computer to let it be shared. Was a cool idea, really cool. That technology is still around. Mesh networks and other things that we have today still uses a lot of the protocol that came out of that. But it's so amazing that it was like not some big company that came out, but instead it was like this small groups of people who would make it, and they were like the rock stars for me, like Razer 1911 and other guys, learning about, what was it, Secure ROM, how do you mount images of a CD so that even a cracked game thought the CD was in there.
How do you mount those? How do you copy them in the first place? Because they had some anti-piracy stuff, like the wobble of the CD. Yeah. How do you replicate that? Like, there was all kinds of interesting stuff.
There were so many things where they were like, oh my God, this new thing, you can't crack it. And it was Secure ROM 2 or whatever it is that would come out. Those piracy protection. And then it's like, oh, they cracked it.
Yeah.
This was it.
The
it's
best
so
one
I've
heard
fun.
About that.
Yeah.
I heard this from a friend of mine years ago. Apparently, one of the Michael Jackson CDs that was coming out, they went out of their way to put in the CD some kind of special like stuff to where you could not burn the CD. And then somebody just realized you would take a Sharpie around the edge, burns just fine. It was like millions of dollars or something like that of research to figure out how to prevent from, and somebody fixed it with a Sharpie.
Yep. Yeah, no, that was most likely due to overburn. Like, the CD was written with the overburn section, and most software would read that and be like, nope, that's more than the allotted amount of time, can't do it. And the Sharpie would basically cover all that up, and it would read like, oh, okay, that's less than what I need, so we're good.
And like
yeah.
So cool. I think it's still really cool. I felt so sophisticated. I'm like, I found this, and I'm doing this. It's just... you know, replacing EXE files to crack a game, but I would feel like, oh, I cracked the game.
So you guys are like,
it was fun.
Games and music, and I'm like, prawns.
Of course.
I did music too, but it's just funnier to say that.
All right. I mean, look, I believe the internet is there for the free exchange of information.
Okay. And there was
not,
a song back in the
day.
The internet is for porn. So he's the internet for just...
I knew where you were going with that. No, the internet exists for the free exchange of information. I will die on that hill. And I think that information includes data. And so that also means games. That means music. But at the same time, if we don't pay the people that make these things, they're not going to get made.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a delicate balance that has to exist where... people like you, people like all of us in the room here, where we may get something free initially, but if we like it and we think they, you know, did a good job on it, we're going to go back and we're going to buy those things, right? Mm-hmm. That has to be a standard practice, or else, you know, paid media is going to die.
Well, I think that happened more often than these people back then really realized. Because, I mean, at least with me, like, I like to have, like, the cover art and, you know, all the stuff that comes with it when you actually physically buy it. So, like, to me, it's more of like I'm sampling stuff to see what I like, to like we were saying earlier, and then I physically go buy it to have it on the shelf. Maybe less so now.
Not everybody thinks like that. So
I know not everybody does, but I feel like the amount of money that people would spend battling this, they're spending more money doing that than they're losing if they just don't worry about it.
Yeah, when you say not everyone thinks that way, I think that person's never buying it anyway. They're never going to buy it.
Sometimes.
It could be. I mean,
it depends on the demographic. Like when you're younger, like say struggling college student, you don't have money for anything else, but you still want entertainment. So you're going to do that. But you might grow up into the person that then all of a sudden has money, which I'm sure all of us can probably identify with. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I'll go back and buy the thing. But then, yeah, some people get that mentality. Some don't. And I don't know. I kind of feel like you do have to pay. If you like a creator, you like an artist, you like a movie maker, something like that, get them paid some way. Go to the movie theater. Go buy a DVD.
Yeah.
Get a streaming service that's going to pay them. Something like that is my opinion on that.
And so that in and of itself,
streaming service pays them.
It becomes some sort of like social contract, right? There's no way you can standardize or legalize this kind of practice, right? It just has to be a social construct. And so because of that, pirating probably will remain illegal for the rest of our lives. And, you know,
I mean, you're still taking something that you don't own. So,
but it's also something that I think deserves to stay alive. And there's a aspect to it also where this practice probably makes the media that we consume cheaper because of the fact that if you can easily get it free and the only other option is something that is really expensive, there's going to be more people getting it for free. Whereas if you keep the paid legal version more economical, there's going to be more people that go over towards that way. But if this other option didn't exist, then things will just get more
expensive. I was going to speak exactly to that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it also highlighted convenience is the one of the most key thing. If getting it legally is the most convenient way for me to get it, like what Netflix did, right? Like, so that would be easier, yes. But if it's more convenient for me to, instead of trying to hunt down, go to a store, find this in this weird place, that's the only way to get this versus, oh, this guy hosted it and I just need to hit download. Obviously, I'm going to hit download there.
But Andy, you wouldn't download a car.
I was going to say that. The cringy FBI ad we had.
I was like, I would absolutely download a car if it's the right car, because there's cars I want that I can't afford.
We can download a car if we want to 3D print it.
Yeah, we can now download cars. I mean, needless to say, I think it's still cool. It's obviously a gray area. It will stay a gray area for the rest of our lives, but I think it needs to exist.
Absolutely agree. Like I said, I was going to touch on that same thing. I was like, I thought it was super cool back in the day. I thought I was a wizard, basically. Just all this stuff that I had read about, all of a sudden I had access to it. Games, movies, music. I could help my friends out by, you know, helping like them make like CDs and stuff like that. And like, you know, parties that we would attend would, you know, somebody would go to the CD player and take it over and throw in like a music CD that I made. So that was like, that was always super cool. And so
Mike's party mix.
Loved it back then, and I've always loved it as an alternative. It is a great check for those multi-billion-dollar companies and other like just entities and whatnot to not raise all their prices completely through the roof and also put a stranglehold on things that, you know, we would want to see. And they're like, no, you only get this version or you only get this. I love the fact that it still exists to this day. It's still fairly accessible to this day because I think it needs to exist. Sometimes there are things that are illegal that, you know, might not morally agree with it, but I'm happy that it exists because it is part of the checks and balances a little bit. Because if people, if stuff does get too expensive, then that stuff needs to come down because people are going to figure out how to use all this other stuff. And I'm sorry, there's no law that's going to stop any of it. They've tried for decades.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen. So yeah, I absolutely think it was cool then. I think it's cool for different reasons now. I like making sure, I like it being an alternative.
I like your versions comment. That's a great reason behind this, because the longer movies have been out, they have different cuts and different versions. And like Star Wars is a perfect example, because they've had like 50 different versions.
Blade Runner has like four different cuts.
But if you want to watch this specific cut of it, but that's not the one that's streaming.
Yeah.
And you can't go buy it in the store. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. All you can do is buy, like, you know, if you know it's going to be a physical version, is buy it. And then you always have it. Or, you know, Sail the Seven Seas.
But not every movie is also as popular as, they say, Star Wars. We're going to talk about this in another episode. But earlier today, I came across a movie from the 70s. And I'm like, I want to watch that. I would be surprised if I could find it anywhere in physical media, potentially maybe streaming online. So it's going to be very hard for me to watch that. Potentially.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I guess that pretty much kind of that's today's episode of talking about file sharing and whatnot. So I guess, guys, our verdict is, I guess it's still cool.
Yeah.
So, still cool.
Still cool.
Still cool.
All right.
Thanks, everyone, for watching. If you're not already subscribed, please subscribe to our channel. We are a very small channel and we are looking to grow. Leave us a comment and a like. We always like getting the comments. We reply to most of them.
Except your wife.
Unless you're my wife leaving three comments on the same video. Thank you. I love you, honey.
I would say even more beyond subscribing and liking, like if people actually like this, share it with your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get the word out.
Yeah.
On the
file
podcast.
Share with your friends. Throw it up on Napster. Let's put it on all like Morpheus, Kazaa, eDonkey 2000.
I want to see Watch Is Four. It Cool or Just Nostalgia?
Yeah, on Napster.
Just watch four bozos talk about shit. So,
all right.
That's what we should have named it. Four bozos talking about shit.
Oh, yeah. That would have been even better, I'm sure.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. This is Michael signing out, and
Andy.
Jeffrey.
And the Deuce.
The Deuce. Right. Even though you don't see us on camera.